The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6 in your Bibles tonight. The Lord gave me a really hot message, and I didn't realize how literal that would be. Amen. And we have some folks in our church that, man, they like it cool. Amen. And they like that. There's a few that got their fans out there. Amen. And I tell you how bad I am. I bought one of those neck things that goes around your neck and blows cold air on you. Amen. And I should have brought it over with me preaching tonight, but thought it might be a distraction to you. Amen. But amen. I thank God for technology sometimes. Amen. And then other times I think it's the curse of the devil. I haven't figured out where it is yet. Amen. But God is good. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to begin tonight at verse number 6 in this passage of Scripture. And read several verses here in this passage of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's begin with verse number 6. So follow along tonight, please, as I read God's Word. The Bible says here, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." I'm glad he put those words, "it is certain." It's certain. It's certain. You're not going to take anything with you when you go. Amen. Yeah, you know, you might as well run that bank account down to zero because you aren't taking it with you when you go. Amen. So it's not going to happen. God said it's certain. All right, now verse 8. "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Verse 12 is my text. "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession among many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for again another Wednesday night where we can gather around the word, hear the word preached tonight. Thank you, Lord, for hearts that have been endeared and loved to hear the word preached. And God, what a wonderful heart it is to hear the word of God given and preached, Lord, from your word. So God, bless us tonight. Use us, Lord. We need something from you. Help us to come to you tonight, Lord, with an empty cup. And Lord, we just pray your great blessings as we open the Bible tonight and look into these truths. And we'll thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 12 again is my text. I want to read it again for you. The Apostle Paul here gives these words: "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." Fight the good fight of faith. Boy, God wants us to fight the good fight of faith. And I looked up these words, each one of these words in this passage of Scripture to see just a little clearer what God is trying to tell us from His Word. The word fight, actually the first word fight, and the second word fight have a little bit different meaning. The first word fight is, of course, a verb that means to contend with an adversary in order to accomplish something. Now, notice that. That's interesting. To contend with an adversary in order to accomplish something. See, we need to fight the fight of faith because God has something for each one of us to accomplish with our life. Our lives are not here just to go through the motions, to float along, to live life, live it up, have all the fun you can. That's not the purpose of life. God has something for you to accomplish in life. Every Christian has something that God wants to put and accomplish in their life. God wants to do something through your life. God wants to do something through you. You say, well, you're the preacher. I know, but you're the layman, and you're the one that God also wants to do something through. It's not just through one. It's not just through, and by the way, it's not just through men. It's through ladies also. In fact, God can even use children to accomplish what he wants to do that. And so he's saying we got to fight the good fight of faith so that we can accomplish something with our life for the Lord. Now, I looked up the word good in this passage of Scripture, the word good, and it's an interesting word because it means valuable or virtuous. Fight the valuable fight of faith. Hey, I want to tell you something. It's very valuable. Doing God's work and God's business is a very valuable thing. It's valuable. It's important. After this life is over, some people just seem to be focused on this life. I got news for you. Don't focus on this life. Focus on what's going on after this life. That's where it's at. That's what matters. Now, I looked up the third word here. The third word is fight. And it is a noun that means a contest or a conflict. So notice what he's saying here. He's saying we're to fight or to contend with an adversary in order to accomplish something valuable or virtuous in a contest of conflict. Now think about that for a moment. That is what it means to fight the good fight of faith. And by the way, that's a command. That's not a suggestion, is it? That's a command. God tells us to fight, to contend with that adversary because something needs to be done that's valuable and virtuous. And it's a contest, and there is a conflict involved in it. Now, can I tell you, this is what God is trying to teach us, that there are some things to fight for. Can I tell you, Christianity today has lost this truth. We've lost the understanding that we got to fight for some things. We've lost the understanding that we got to contend and contend with the adversary because something needs to get done. Something needs to be accomplished. When I go out soul winning, when you go out soul winning, I want to tell you what, that devil is there. There is a fight that's going on. There's a fight. That man is, or that lady, Satan is fighting them. They know they need to be saved, but the devil will send a telephone call or whatever to distract that person from hearing the gospel. How many people are going to be in hell because a soul winner tried to talk to them, but they could not or would not allow God? They lost the fight of faith. Right. They lost that fight. Now, that's a sad thing, but it happened. It happens every day. It happens all the time. No doubt you've talked to somebody or given somebody that gospel tract. Boy, that devil starts fighting right away. Because I'll tell you what, hear me. The devil knows that if they hear the gospel and get saved, they slip right out of his grasp.
Right.
And God has them for eternity.
Amen.
Now I want you to notice the next sentence that goes along with it. And it says, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called. And so he's saying these two thoughts connect together. There's a fight. We got to fight together. There's a battle, a contending that needs to go on because something valuable is at stake. Something valuable is at stake. And he said, lay hold on eternal life. Now, he's not saying we fight in order. We fight the good fight of faith because we're trying. That's laying hold of salvation. That's a work salvation, and that's wrong. That's not what God is saying.
Amen.
God is saying we fight the good fight of faith, holding on
eternal life. Amen. That's what he's saying. He's saying you've already got it. That's what enables you and I to fight this fight of faith. We hold on to the fact that you're saved. Can I tell you what? The very fact that you're saved, the very fact that you trusted Christ as your Savior, that one blessed day when you got saved, that day that renders all days lesser in your mind, that one day, that one time when you got saved, thank God for that one day, because that one day is something you lay hold of every day of your life to allow your life to fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
I know I'm saved. Amen.
Amen.
I know I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved, but I know it. You say, how do you know it? I just know it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there's three things I want to point out, three things I want to hone in on tonight about this matter of fighting the good fight of faith. I want to look at, first of all, number one, fighting the demise of doubt. Fighting the demise of doubt. I'm surprised at how many Christians doubt God's word.
Yeah.
Right. That old devil sits on their shoulder. They're saved as saved could be, but a lot of Christians doubt their salvation. Or they doubt the word of God. They live in doubt. They live in defeat. Can I tell you what? Doubt is a paralyzing thing that will keep you from doing, from accomplishing what God has for you to do.
Doubt.
Well, I wonder. I've met people that wonder if their salvation is good. And you know, there are some Christians that go through doubt. I want to tell you what the doubt is. Doubt is the devil's attack on your faith. That's what it is. And the devil would love to get every Christian to live in doubt of God's word, because if he can get you to live in doubt of God's word, you won't stand or fight the fight of faith, and you won't accomplish anything in your life.
Right.
It's paralyzing. Doubt is paralyzing to a Christian who loves God and wants to serve God. It's paralyzing.
Doubt. Doubt. A man once came to D.L. Moody. And he was worried because he didn't feel saved. Moody asked him, was Noah safe in the ark? He said, certainly was, the man replied. Well, what made him safe, his feeling or the ark? The inquirer got the point. How foolish I've been, he says. It's not my feelings, it's Christ who saves. Can I tell you, we doubt when we hold our feelings in higher esteem than God's word.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Hey, listen, if God said it, that settles it.
Amen.
If God wrote it in his holy word, there's no question marks need to come after that, but periods.
Amen.
And exclamation points.
Amen.
There's no room for question marks in God's word. God said it. He meant what he said. He's God. He's going to keep his words. And if he said it, it's never going to change. It's never going to end. God's word needs to be trusted, not doubted.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I wish people that doubt would get their mind off of their feelings and start putting their mind on God's word.
Amen.
Because God's word will never fail them. God's word is the medicine to dispel doubt. God's word. It allows us to say no ifs, ands, or buts. Reminds me of the man who said, I don't believe there's any absolutes. And the guy looked at him and said, are you sure about that? He said, absolutely. You see, there are absolutes. God is absolute.
Amen.
It's Satan that brings doubt into our mind, that washes truth right out of our mind, because our feelings are motivated by how we feel from day to day. And hear me, don't live by your feelings. Your feelings go up and down. One day you may feel saved, one day you may not. It doesn't matter. What matters is what God said about the matter. That's all that matters. All it is Satan's attacks to debilitate you from fighting this good fight of faith.
That's right.
Satan just wants to leave you crippled spiritually. So that you cannot fight that good fight of faith because you live in doubt. Oh, listen, hear me tonight. Don't live in doubt. God said his word. He didn't say his word and write it down because he didn't mean it. He said because he means it. He said what he means and he meant what he said. And we don't need to doubt it. Don't doubt the word. There's a remarkable thing about assurance is this. When we rest on the word first, a preacher said this, when we rest on his word first, we get the feeling afterward. This is well illustrated in a story of a man carrying a bag of potatoes on his back. He was asked by a skeptic, he said, "How do you know you're saved?" Taking a few more steps forward, then letting the potatoes fall, he replied, "How do I know I've dropped the bag? I haven't looked around." "No," replied the critic, "but I suppose you can tell by the lessening of the weight." "Exactly," said the Christian man. "That's how I know I'm saved. I've lost the guilty feeling of sin and sorrow. I found peace and satisfaction in my Lord Jesus Christ by simply resting on his word."
Amen.
Doubt. Doubt is debilitating. If Satan can get a Christian to doubt their salvation, doubt the will of God, doubt the purpose in life, doubt that they have something to accomplish, and he can render this fight of faith null and void.
Oh, how Satan laughs when the Christian who lived in doubt, even though he got to heaven, because you see, if the devil can't get your soul, he's going to go after our mind.
Right.
If he can't get your mind, he'll try to get your body.
Yep.
And so he's trying to get every part of us to keep us in doubt and trusting God's word. Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. If God said it, we better just settle right down on it. Settle down on it. It won't ever change. It's always going to be there. We just need to not doubt God's word. Just put your whole faith, your whole life on it. Amen.
Amen.
You can put your whole family on it too.
Amen.
By the way, look at those who don't put their faith of their family on it. Look at those. You see the destruction of Satan. Satan will destroy any family that will not put their faith in God. Amen. During the first part of the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, I hate to even utter that word today, San Francisco, but in the first part of that construction of the Golden Gate Bridge, there were no safety devices used. 23 men fell to their death. And for the last part of it, there was a large cost that cost $100,000. They built a large net that cost $100,000. And at least 10 men fell onto that net. But here's the interesting part about that net. The fact that 25% more work was accomplished when these men were assured of their safety. Now that's why God gives us a assurance salvation, a no-so salvation all your life. Because it's meant for us to feel safe while we're doing the work of God.
Amen.
That's what God said. So don't listen to the devil. Recognize, can you recognize that oftentimes the devil is in charge of our feelings? That sometimes doubt takes over because it is the devil. Can I tell you, God's people have to get the victory over doubt.
Right.
The victory over roller coaster Christianity. We need the victory over that. You know why we need the victory over that? Because if we don't have the victory over that,
That old devil keeps us from doing anything for the Lord. Yeah, bring me that water.
Amen. Thank you. That's a good assistant pastor. Brings me some water. Amen. The demise of doubt. Don't allow Satan to influence your thoughts. Don't allow Satan to shake your faith. Don't allow the devil to come in and whisper thoughts that are not true. Have a disciplined mind when it comes to the truth of the Word of God. Don't allow him. Don't allow him to cause you doubt. Put your rest, when you put your finger on the Word of God, take that truth that you put your finger on and rest your whole soul and life on it. It'll hold you up. It's called fighting the good fight of faith. Now there's a second area that I want to give a little thought to tonight. We have to fight the good fight of faith when it comes to the liberal ideas and mentalities that are in this world. We have to fight the good fight of faith in regards to the liberal ideas and mentalities that there are in there. You know, somebody came along one day and said that it's okay to baptize a baby. And if you baptize a baby, they go to heaven. You know, the problem with that is they diverted away from the Word of God. Is there a Bible verse in 1 that says that?
Yeah, right.
A child can be saved when they reach an understanding age, an age of accountability. They hear the Word of God. Even Timothy, the Bible says, from a child has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. But you can't get to heaven by infant baptism. Some liberal thought that idea up, who diverted away from the Word of God. And hear me tonight, we've got to fight the good fight of faith when it comes to liberal mentality. You said, what do you mean by fight the good fight of faith? There ought to be something that rises up inside each Christian, each child of God, and says, no, that goes contrary to Scripture. That is not true. That is Satan's attack. That Satan's worming his way in. And I want to tell you, if Satan can get liberal ideas planted in a church, and planted in a home, and planted everywhere, can I tell you what? He'll destroy the truth of his word. Sprinkling. You know, I even this contemporary stuff today. I saw a church not too long ago. Pastor had on flip flops. Hair was all messed up. I'm not messing it up tonight. Amen. My wife just gave me a good haircut, so I'm not messing it up. Preaching the flip flops. Hey man, you gotta be like them to win them. Why would they want what we want if we have exactly the same thing they have? They want something different. They're hungry for something better. And so I'm saying to you, the liberal ideas are nothing more than the devil watering down the Word of God, watering down truth so that people can't hear. And when they hear the truth, it becomes so sharp that they think it's legalist or it's wrong. No, it's right. It's just that the devil has watered down the idea of truth and right so bad that people can't even absorb the truth today. And so we got to stand for it. We got to stand. We got to fight the good fight of faith. This stuff, I've noticed changes in music over the past 30 years of my ministry. Well, they got to have the drums up there, the rock band, and they look just like the world. I wonder what we're patterning our music after.
Sounds good. Come on.
I think we're mimicking the world.
Yes, sir.
Instead of the world learning God's way. The church is mimicking the world. Hey, the Bible teaches
And you know, churches got the lights and the smoke and the praise team. You know what influenced all that? It was not the Word of God. Bible gives us the truth, the true standards of music and what music should be. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted by sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hey, listen, repeating a few words of Jesus over and over again does not make it a spiritual song.
Right, right. Yeah.
And just because you turn the smoke machine on doesn't make it more spiritual.
Right.
Just because you add some purple lights on it doesn't mean it. It might be more like a bridge and show than it does a church. And I'm saying to you tonight, we've got to fight the good fight of faith. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to fight people. I don't want to fight each other. That's not what we're supposed to fight. We're supposed to fight for truth. There's something supposed to be inside of us that says, I've got to stand for something. this idea now that it's okay to... for a boy to act like he's a girl.
Yeah.
A girl to change her sex if she wants to be a boy. Now, where'd that come from? That came from the world.
That's right.
That didn't come from God. What God said is, God in the beginning, male and female, created he them, and he saw that it was good.
Yes.
If God made a man a man, it's a good thing. Act like a man, be a man.
Amen.
If God made a woman, thank God for it. Be the woman that God wants you to be. God made it good.
Amen.
Amen. It's man that twists all these things, leaving the concoctions of the mind so far from God that the gospel has a hard time saturating such a distant soul from God. So I say today, we got to fight the good fight of faith. Years ago, and I'll forget, I started a church in Oregon, and they invited me to the local fellowship of all the whatever's in town. And I didn't go. And the next week, a lady came up to me and said, well, you weren't there. Everybody else was there. The captain priest, the charismatic minister, they're all there. You know, they think that's unity.
Yeah.
Listen, unity is when the doctrine of the Word of God is all in agreement.
That's good.
Unity is not we all get together with different ideas and doctrine. That is how liberalism creeps into a church, and it takes Bible preaching churches to water their down. They water down what they believe.
Amen.
By getting into those things. And I say that it's not worth compromising God's word to get along.
Amen.
Now don't get me wrong, I believe in being congenial to everybody. Amen? I'm being kind to everybody. And I don't think it means we fight each other with a wrong heart, an unspiritual lie. I don't think it means we live with hatred.
Right.
What it means is we've got to stand and fight a good fight because there are some things that are more important and most important in our lives. You know, when a church starts down a liberal slide, the music changes, standards change, dress. Before long, not much is important. The words seem to be the same, but yet it sends forth an uncertain sound. Can I tell you, when it's pure and it's right, that's when it sends forth the right sound. Boy, a church gets on that thing of dropping all this. It doesn't really matter. You know, none of those things really matter. When a church starts doing that before long, it's not long before they start compromising the Bible and versions.
Yep. Start entering in, and all those versions, they don't bring cohesiveness, they bring confusion.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And when that happens,
liberal ideas take over. Look out.
That church is not coming back. That's why you got to stand in the beginning.
Amen.
That's why you got to fight that good fight of faith. That's why you got to stand for something. I'd hate for some soul or somebody to, like this man that called me this past week, he's weak in his faith. I'd hate for him to come to a church and see everybody else is weak in their faith as he is.
Right.
How can you help? If the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch.
Right.
How can you do that?
So we got to always allow liberal ideas to forget. You say, well, we got to reach the young people today.
And if we just compromise everything, we'll reach the young people today. No, you may be appealing to what they like. You're probably not reaching them.
Right.
Because the only thing that genuinely reaches people is truth.
Yeah,
and
amen.
Righteousness for the word.
Amen.
That's what reaches people. The other is only just giving them whatever they like to hear. And whatever they want.
Oh, I'm having a good time tonight, man. I just feel like backing up the whole truck. Amen.
Do it.
So I'm saying... Liberalism compromises the word of God, waters it so down that there's no truth left to hold on to. Any version of salvation is acceptable to the liberals. Why, your God and my God? We all have these different ideas of God. Whatever idea your idea is of God is probably good enough for you. Can I tell you what? There's only one God.
Amen.
And he won't share his glory with anybody. There's only one God. You say, boy, you're very narrow-minded.
Yep, I'm about that narrow right there. Kind of narrow. You say, how do you know? Because of that verse right up there.
I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
Now, how are you going to put that into a liberal mentality? How are you going to get truth? Water that down.
Right.
Are people going to get to heaven when you water that down?
They're coming out with new versions all the time. Brother Watson was even telling me that the World Health or the New World Order is coming out with a new Bible, and this new Bible is supposed to be better than all Bibles.
Said he's going to give us his word and he's going to preserve it. Why don't they just find it? Because it's there. But no, the alternative is to create a new Bible. And may I tell you what? With each new translation, the deity of Christ, the truth of God, the Son of God is inclined worse and worse. And the twisting of Scripture is evident. All these new Bibles. Oh, I know they wouldn't admit it. Oh, I know they would call us crazy.
But that's okay.
Because when you know the truth will set you free.
Amen.
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 So I say to you tonight, liberal ideas. You know, liberals think themselves spiritual by giving considerable weight to everyone's opinion on the matter. You know, the only opinion that really matters is God's. My opinions don't matter. Like Dr. Vineyard used to say,
can't sell potatoes on my opinions.
That's true.
So we must not allow liberal ideas and liberal mentalities, the latest, greatest fad, the latest, greatest thing in church growth, boy, whatever it is. Can I tell you something? God wrote the manual for growing a church. It's right in this book. He put it there 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
So I'm saying, don't let the liberals get you. Don't let the liberals doubt you, cause you to doubt. Fight the good fight of faith. You see, in the context of this scripture, Paul was encouraging Timothy to keep the good fight of faith because he was to go to an island of Crete where there were many who were away from God. And the Apostle Paul said, now you're going to need to stand for something if you go there, Timothy. You're going to have some backbone. You're going to have to believe something. You're going to have to stand on your own 2 feet. And you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. And again, Timothy, the fight is not with the people. The fight is to earnestly contend for the faith and the truth of the Word of God. That's our job. That's our duty. Number three tonight. Number three, fight the good fight of faith in the devil's discouragement of soul winning. The devil's discouragement of soul winning. Can I tell you there are so many different adversaries when it comes to soul winning?
Right.
Unkind people. People too busy. People thinking I'm just not able to talk to people. What do I say at the door and how do I talk to people? Can I tell you the best thing Jesus told his disciples? He said, just get out there and go. He said, go. It's amazing how something comes to your mind when you knock on a door and somebody opens the door. You say, well, I don't like that feeling. You'd be surprised. God can use you like that.
Amen.
The key to soul winning is not perfection. The key to soul winning is just going.
Yeah.
Just getting out there. Finding somebody. Amen.
Amen.
Finding people, they're everywhere. You say, I'm afraid to talk to them. Well, you'll get over that if you start talking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You say, I don't know what to say. Go up to them and say, I'm going to give you a gospel tract, invitation to our church. That's a good start.
Amen.
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 Keep talking until you give them the plan of salvation. Take everyone as far as you can. And boy, the old devil will fight. I'm busy.
You know, it reminds me about that guy in the Bible that said, I have bought a piece of ground and I need to go see it.
Right.
Don't you go see the ground before you buy it?
Right.
He said, I bought a piece of ground. I got to go look at it.
Yep.
It's dirt. Dirt when I bought it, and it's still dirt. And you know, the devil throws so many distractions and curveballs to people who, if they'll only hear the message of God, they can be saved. And if you're not careful, the discouragement of soul winning will keep you from fighting that good fight of faith.
Always learning, always trying to do better. Always taking in more and always absorbing in more so I can keep myself filled. And then going. Don't let Satan discourage you. Don't let Satan cause you to quit. I knew a man that he was working in a Christian school. And the Christian school had a requirement that he go soul-winning. I think that's a good thing. And by the way, that's a good example to the students that you are teaching. And so he said, I had to go. But something funny, years later, when he didn't teach that school anymore, and the requirement wasn't there, he quit going soul winning. You know, the old devil threw up this roadblock that he did it just for the requirement.
Right.
When really he should have done it for the lost soul.
Amen.
I say to you today, boy, that devil, he's tricky.
do anything he can. And his main focus of diversion today is to cause us to not connect in reaching the lost with the gospel. Because he knows that that's the only thing that's really going to matter in eternity. He knows it. He knows it. You know what's funny about the devil is he never has doubt. You know why he never has doubt? Because he knows the Lord is real and true.
Right.
But he just floods the minds of men with distractions and ideas and busyness, and where they cannot hear the gospel. And you know what I think the church ought to be doing? Just flooding the town with the gospel everywhere you go. So that that person sees the gospel here, sees the gospel there. Or they go into the laundromat, somebody left the track there. One of these days, that old devil, he gets caught where he doesn't have the gospel. He misses somebody and they pick up that track. They read it. By the way, we've had letters sent to our church from people who've done that. Gave testimony that they got saved. I like it when the devil misses something. Amen?
Amen.
When the devil misses. By the way, that's worth hanging in there for.
Yes,
because every soul is precious.
Yes, sir.
Every soul matters. Every soul makes a difference. You know, that's why we send teens to camp. Because we want those teens to get on fire. When they get on fire, they can do something for the Lord in their life and see somebody saved. Oh, hear me. It's worth it to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You're saved. Hang on to it. And then just keep fighting. Just keep hanging in there. Just keep fighting. Boy, it's when we quit that the old devil wins, because we lose the accomplishment of something valuable. You say, well, preacher, sometimes when I go soul winning, I have a dry run time and time again. You know, the truth is, we really don't know if we had a dry run or not. You really don't know. You put tracks out, you left those tracks in the door, or gave them to that belligerent person. At least you gave them their hand and they slammed the door in your face. And they got a track in the house. You know that track can speak. And you and I can't. You don't know. The devil will always have some kind of roadblock, some kind of mental diversion when it comes to telling people about Christ. But can you tell me what's more important in eternity? What's more important in eternity than a soul knowing Christ? I say to you tonight, we got to keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Just stay with it. Keep going on till the day we meet Jesus. Amen. Hang in there. Keep fighting the fight of faith. Don't allow yourself to internally become lax and comfortable and lukewarm. Don't allow yourself that. Don't allow yourself. You see, sometimes I get tired. Well, that's what they make beds for at night. Amen. Lay your head down and get some sleep. Be given this beloved sleep. But every day when we wake up, we ought to serve Jesus. Keep fighting that good fight of faith. Something valuable.